Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Money. We're going to talk about money today. Money. Getaway. Get a good job with more pay.
Get a good job with more pay. You're okay.
So I go back to 1974, play a little Pink Floyd. Keep playing it. I'm in no rush. I'm in for a long haul tonight. I'm on the Savage train, the express train tonight, but it's taking a long run around the curve tonight. 1974 Pink Floyd lyrics, Money. It's a very interesting song, and the lyrics are very 70s. Money, it's a gas, grab that cash with both hands and make a stash. New car, caviar, four-star daydream. Think I'll buy me a football team. Money, get back, I'm all right, Jack. Keep your hands off my stack. Money, it's a hit, don't give me that do-goody good, you know what. I'm in the high-fidelity first-class traveling set, and I think I need a Learjet. Money, it's a crime, share it fairly, but don't take a slice of my pie. Money, so they say, is the root of all evil today, but if you ask for a rise, it's no surprise that they're giving none away. What I'm saying is things, they have changed, haven't they? But do you know anyone who's giving their money away? No, but you got millions of bums in this country and abroad who want to take it from those of us who work. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Headline: more Americans on disability than people in Greece. Came out of CNS News this afternoon. 10,982,920 fakers. Well, not all. Let's say a certain percentage are actually disabled. We don't know what percent are really disabled. Let's say a large, if not a majority of those on disability, federal disability under Obama, which is a form of welfare, there are more Americans on disability than the people living in Greece, Portugal, Tunisia, and Burundi. Did you know that? The record of 10,982,920 people on disability benefits in the United States exceeded the total number of people in Portugal, 10,7, Tunisia, 10,8, and Burundi, 10,8. Did you hear this? The 10,900,000 American taking disability in November outnumbered the total population of Greece. The record 10,900,000 total disability beneficiaries in November included a record 8.9 million disabled workers, 1.8 million children of disabled workers, and 157,000 spouses of disabled workers. Why is this happening? You know most of them are faking it. You know the government is just writing these checks in order to have them feel good about Obama. Well, Democrat. But we're not going to talk about it. Unless you have a disability horror story, like a neighbor, a bum, a relative, a brother-in-law, who's cashing in a check and then working on his car all day and drinking beer. Yeah, how about some disability horror stories in the Savage Nation? And while we're talking about that, because it's related to money, I'll read some other money stories I want to work on today. Minimum wage increase, pros and cons. We've been talking about raising the minimum wage. Thursday, there's a major strike across the landscape of the fast food outfits. We've talked about why and why not to raise the minimum wage yesterday on the Savage Nation. If you care to join that conversation, the phone number is 855-400-7282. There's a third topic I want to talk about. Here's the third bouncing ball, and that is in Colorado, they're discussing legalizing the right to smoke marijuana in public. Now, you know my position on marijuana. It's the most dangerous of all drugs. It's the most dangerous because people think that it's the least dangerous, and it is, of course, an entry-level drug, a baby drug that brings you into the world of drugs. Now, many of you will justify the legalization of marijuana and smoking in public, saying, well, alcohol is legal and it's more dangerous to the public. Well, there's a major difference here. And I realize most of you who are stoners have long lost the ability to use reason or logic. You don't even know what logic means. You never learned it. While you were sucking your thumb, I was studying Aristotelian logic in mathematical formulae. So let me tell you something. When a person decides to have a drink, only that person who is drinking that drink is drinking that drink. Nobody around that person gets a contact drunk. But when one of you dumb stoners decides to light up a joint and stink up the neighborhood, or ruin the neighborhood, or ruin your neighbor's night, your secondhand pot smoke becomes an issue. How many laws were passed to prevent people from smoking tobacco in public due to secondhand smoke? All you heard for 30 years, secondhand smoke, secondhand smoke, secondhand smoke, secondhand smoke. Right? Are you telling me that smoking marijuana around the baby is safe? That there's no chance for the baby to inhale the smoke from a marijuana cigarette, whether you are, let's say you're in an apartment and it seeps through the walls, which it does. Or you go out on your balcony and contaminate and pollute your neighbor's right to clean air. Many places today don't even allow smoking in public, that's tobacco, going so far as to ban it from public parks and land. For example, the backwoods city of San Rafael, California, has gone so far as to ban smoking in your own private residence if it connects to another residence. But what, it's okay to smoke marijuana? So with all of the outcry about cigarette smoke, should marijuana be allowed to be smoked in public? Absolutely not, but what do you think and why? Why is it fair for you to expose people you don't know to the toxins in marijuana smoke while cigarette smoke is banned? What about the carcinogens in marijuana? Are you aware of it? I'm sure you aren't. You wouldn't smoke it if you were. And now we have the third topic, the minimum wage. You have three topics in the air. Disability horror stories, meaning fake disabled claims. Fake disabled claims. We have to stop this. 11 million people are on disability from Obama, from payments from the U.S. government, federal disability. 11 million people? More than the whole population of Greece? And you don't see a pattern? Well, okay, that's because you're stoned all the time. And the reason the government wants you to be stoned all the time is so they can manipulate you. You think you're free. You think that if you're... You know, I see these pictures. I see the schmucks sitting around in a park with a smoking in Colorado. They think they're so cool to just have a pipe and a bong. They think that makes them a man. That makes you a man sitting and getting high in a park. You're so wild and far out. That's a real man. That's real manhood. Sitting like a putz in a park, smoking a marijuana cigarette or a pipe. What makes you so cool to impair your brain, moron? But I say if you want to be an impaired moron, go ahead, be an impaired moron. Just tax the stuff so we can pay for the disability benefits you're probably collecting. Tax marijuana at 50% and let the state sell it like they used. Some states still sell alcohol. Limit the age, put an age limit on it, let the state sell it and tax it at 50%. You pay $50 for marijuana, $25 goes to the state. I mean, let's clear this whole thing up already. Let's get it over with. 50% tax would be good. Tax marijuana and let those who want to impair their brains, and the rest of us can work. It's as simple as that. But don't smoke it where I have to inhale your secondhand smoke. I despise marijuana smoke. It's nauseating. I find it offensive. And how could these idiots who run cities and towns permit this? How can they permit this? How many auto accidents are caused by people who are high on marijuana? How about that train wreck in New York? The train wreck that killed 4 and injured 62. He was doing 82 in a 30-mile-an-hour zone. They say he fell asleep. What drugs was he on, if any? Was he on marijuana? We don't know. Will you ever know? With the powers that be trying to get you doped up, making you believe that marijuana is good for you, while soda is bad for you, salt is bad for you, trans fats are bad for you, but marijuana is good for you? Hey, you want to be a moron and you want to be a drug addict, go ahead. But I don't want to pay for your pleasure, number one. And number two, I don't want you on the highway, and I don't want to secondhand inhale your garbage. So there's three topics. And you thought you were going to get away with an easy show tonight. No, not with me. You never get away with an easy show. If I show up to work, I show up to work. And if I show up to work, you show up to call. Because right now the calls are coming in real hot and heavy on the Savage Nation. It may be just another Tuesday night to you, but to me, it's another night in the Savage Nation. The idea nice. So let's go back to Pink Floyd's Money. You can while and dial at 855-407-282 on the three topics. I have other topics, but I don't need them yet. It's supposed to snow out here in the Bay Area. For those of you living elsewhere, it's of no interest to you. Turning it into global warming. Or I guess it must be global warming, the snow falling down here. Every time the winters come a little early, Al Gore disappears. Disappears, nowhere to be found, that con man. Same cold air settling into the San Francisco Bay Area could bring as much as 6 inches of snow to the Lake Tahoe area. Can you imagine it's going to snow in the high Sierras in December? It must be that nasty global warming. It must be that nasty global warming. Motorists crossing the Sierra are advised to bring chains. See, we never used chains before in California until Al Gore came along. It's all about money, honey. Everything I talk to you about tonight is about money, honey. Every topic I mentioned tonight is about money, honey. Disability racketeers, minimum wage, marijuana, alcohol, global warming. It's all about money, honey. Get it? 855-407-282. Let's take one quick call out of WABC, the first up tonight. Andrew, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
I'll touch real quick on both the marijuana disability. A lot of people, of course, work under the table, and they're using their checks to buy marijuana, many. And the one argument that people say about raising the minimum wage, they say, well, not everyone could raise up the ranks because people get promotions and they make more. People have disabilities. But that's what our social welfare programs, people that are not capable of.
Sorry, Andrew, you're not making any sense. Did you smoke tonight or what?
I was going to say that the song that you played, I never knew the words until you recited them. Like, I've heard it 150 times, and I never knew the words. But I'm
it goes back to 1974, long before you were born, no doubt.
I was born in 69. But
You're an old man. You're an old man. You remember when America was America, before it got taken over by a bunch of bust-out artists. I'll be right back.
The Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
There are more people on federal disability than there are living in Greece. There are more people on federal disability than there are living in several other countries. Why do you suppose so many people are on federal disability? And why would the Obama administration encourage people to go on federal disability? You can pretty much figure that out. That's topic one. Topic two is the minimum wage. Should it be raised or not? Topic number three is the issue of marijuana and alcohol. The dopers in Colorado want to be able to smoke it in public, and I'm totally opposed to it. And if you have any logical faculties left in your brain, if you ever had any, you would understand that there's no comparability to drinking alcohol, because if you drink alcohol, the guy next to you doesn't get a contact high. While if you smoke marijuana, you're going to disturb the brain waves, the brain patterns, and the lungs of those around you. So try not to be so selfish and understand that marijuana smoke is quite toxic, both to you and those around you, and you should be forbidden from smoking it in public. Period. End of story. Those are the three topics. Let's begin on the minimum wage topic on WABC in New York. Jerome, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Mark. Here's why I'm for increasing the minimum wage. The money would circulate from the bottom up. Some people have five homes, and some people sleep in the streets. Are you okay with that?
Well, let me ask you why they're in the streets. You think they're there because they are what? They should be the CEO of a company?
That's ridiculous. That's not what I said.
Well, I asked you a question. Why do you think there are so many people in the streets? Don't you know some of them like being there? Aren't you aware? Have you actually looked at some of these bums in the streets? Have you talked to them? Many of them enjoy being street bums.
You're a bitter and vicious person.
Well, who's being bitter and vicious? You are. You're the one who threw the first blow. What should I do? Tell you you're right?
You're wasting my...
I'll give you an example if you want to listen to it. I don't know if you're capable of hearing anything. It sounds to me that your bitterness has gotten the best of you. Would you like to hear it? The city of San Rafael, California was a pretty little town when they opened up the St. Anthony's dining hall to feed these bums, they came in like rats.
If you would like...
And they started to come... They're dumping them from Berkeley and San Francisco because they've had enough of these bums. And the bums are sitting in the street drinking and smoking dope. And you know what they're saying? We love San Rafael because the people are so nice to us. They don't work. They sit around drinking, reading books, going to the library, polluting the library. Why do you think they're sitting around? Because they're not working. Why are they not working? Because they don't want to work. Because they're given a nice fat check and a free meal. Don't you understand that? How many able-bodied people are not working in this country? Gone, sir? Of course he hung up. He got nervous. He got nervous, and the federal check can only be stretched certain. It's already the 3rd of December. He smoked it up already, and not enough money left for the depends he would have needed to continue the conversation. 855-400-7282. How about some disability horror stories? How about smoking marijuana in public? Let's go to Rich on WDRC in Connecticut. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
I got a friend of mine whose son is in his 40s, and she says he has a bad back. He can't work, but he's extremely smart in computers. He can fix them inside and out, up and down. So I said, yeah. Why doesn't he get a job with, for example, Geek Squad or whatever they call them? I says, or create his own business and repair computers. Oh, no, he can't sit for long hours. And then a couple months later, he tells me, oh, I got this new game for the computer. He says, and I sat there for 13 or 14 hours straight.
So there are no federal inspectors to check if you're faking disability anymore. They're gone.
Unbelievable.
They're gone.
And I agree with you about the homeless not wanting to work. There was
we have a homeless man calling. I'll get him after the break. He says he loves living on the streets, and he's going to tell people that not everyone in the streets is there because they don't want to be there. Some of them love the streets, and they love free food. They love being able to read all day, walk around, look at the flying green parrots of Telegraph Hill. They love it. They love the Bay Area.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Well, we're actually arguing over whether to increase the minimum wage or not to increase the minimum wage and the effects it would have one way or the other, because there's going to be a huge strike in fast food joints on Thursday. We're talking about the dopers who want to smoke in public in Colorado. I'm 100% opposed to it. And we're talking about the fact that there are more people on disability, federal disability payments in America than live in the entire nation of Greece. And this is all because it's all about money, honey. So let's begin with a man who says he lives on the streets in San Francisco. He goes by the name of White. He's calling from KSFO Radio. White, go ahead, please.
Oh, yeah, I dig it, man. I'm on the outskirts of San Francisco, over towards Oakland. And, shoot, me and my dog, we've been out here for years, man. Ain't nothing like
it. So what I'm saying is you like being outdoors, and this guy thinks that you're out there because you can't find a job. But you're saying, you're confirming what I said. I talk to people in the streets. Some of them love it.
I love it. I make $45 an hour.
How? Just by panhandling?
Tools and people. No, I do weed abatement. I play with my power tools in people's backyards, you know, chainsaw massacre, you know, just cut it, let it lay, go to the next yard, you know, all day long.
What do you mean? You cut up firewood for them? Is that what you're saying?
During the wintertime, but in the summertime, I do weed abatement, you know.
What you're saying is you actually work and live in the streets.
Oh, yeah. I built a little shack up in the hill. And
so, in other words, the do-gooder who called and called me mean-spirited was wrong. He doesn't know many people love the streets.
Oh, heck yeah. No bills.
See? No bills, no taxes, no government agents to bother you.
Well,
you want to hear something funny, White? You're not the first so-called homeless person to listen to my show. I sometimes walk around the streets of San Francisco, and I get a kick out of guys with carts who are replaying my show, you know, comes out of other stations sometimes. I get a kick out of it. They actually like my show.
Oh, heck yeah. I got my buddies, they come up and they visit, and I turn your show on. They hear the Savage Nation, they start cracking up, and then they start listening to you. They can't believe it, you know.
Well, why do homeless people listen? Let's say they listen to hate me, or they just like what I'm saying?
Oh, we like what you're saying.
What? So some homeless people are quite politically conservative? Is that what you're implying?
Oh, heck yeah. A lot of us. You'd be surprised.
I wouldn't be surprised. Some of you are veterans. Many of you are patriotic. Many of you know that we are facing the demise of the nation that you grew up in. I get it. Believe me, I get it.
Big time.
All right, White, thank you for the call. That's interesting. 855-407-282. Well, that confirms that I was right and that mean-spirited caller was wrong. Nah, I mean, it's true. That's all. I'm right and he's wrong. That's why I'm on the radio and he's just a mean-spirited nobody. Think about it. If he was right most of the time, somebody would have said, hey, that guy is smart. You know, he's right most of the time. He ought to consider a career in radio. And before long, you know, he would fill in maybe, get a job, fill in on a show, and he'd have a radio show. It only took me 20 years to get where I am. I'm an overnight success. It's the old joke, you know. Yeah, I'm an overnight success. It took me 20 years of working in toilets to get where I am, that kind of thing. Gabrielle, WABC on the marijuana question. Welcome to the Savage Nation from New York City. What's on your mind?
Thank you for taking my call. I want to say I'm a big fan. I am a marijuana smoker. I'll give you a little background of myself. I'm a hedge fund portfolio manager out of New York City.
Well, you're certainly not getting my money, but go ahead.
I don't know. I'm pulling about 25% return, so maybe you should.
But you're saying you're pulling what, 25% a year, you said?
25% returns on the money.
And do you feel it's because of the marijuana that gives you the insights?
Absolutely not. I never smoke during the day. I smoke in the evenings. However, I have a very high stressful job, you know, managing hundreds of millions of dollars. And, you know, when I come home at night, you know, I'm married, I have three children, it helps me. Now, I never smoke in front of my children or my wife. But, you know, it's a deep...
There's two questions in play here, Gabrielle. One, I can't confirm that you're really a hedge fund manager. I'll take you on your word. The issue is not marijuana per se. It's smoking it in public because of the secondhand smoke. Surely, as a logical thinker, you have to agree with me that it's offensive and potentially harmful to people who are sensitive to the smoke. Wouldn't you agree with that?
I agree with that 100%. I agree with that.
That's all. See, that's what I'm trying to get at. What I don't like about the marijuana legalization community is that they're stepping on common sense. First, they got everything they wanted. Now they're saying you should be required to inhale my secondhand smoke. And I'm saying, hell no, we won't blow.
So I think there's an alternative to that.
Yeah.
I think that, like in many European countries, there are, you know, red light district areas or certain areas where that will be tolerable. Where if you're going to an area like that, You're going with the understanding that this is what occurs over here, and don't expect anything different. I'm not going to say to you that it's right to smoke in front of a school or a park or anywhere else that someone will find it disturbing. But
no, let me tell you, Gabrielle, you do know that marijuana smoke is highly carcinogenic. You know that, don't you?
So is eating a steak. Everything is.
Well, hold on. No. Don't. Well, I'll say two wrongs make a right, and two carcinogens are better than one.
Listen,
you're dealing with an Aristotelian logician, so you're not saying that it's a good thing to add carcinogen to carcinogen. In fact, co-carcinogens often augment each other's toxicity. For example, many people smoke tobacco, drink alcohol, and individually there may be some toxicity to either of those activities, but together they are, let us say, manifold or multiplied by 4 to 6 times. Well-known established fact, smoking and drinking alcohol, 4 to 6 times more carcinogenic than either smoking or drinking by themselves. So marijuana is a potent carcinogen that you should be aware of, the side effects, the dangers. I want to ask you something about this. Alcohol is water-soluble, and although people may wake up with a hangover, they remove the toxins in their urine. Marijuana, as you well know, is fat soluble and sits in your system for about 30 days. So you're always high, basically.
That's not true. You're not always.
Gabrielle, that's a medical fact. You say you smoke at night and you don't smoke during the day. You are high 24 hours a day. That is a medical fact. In other words, you're in a subdued high during the day while you're working, but you can't wait to get home to get back to your regular high. I'm just telling you, you're addicted to marijuana. Now, what it does for you is interesting. Does it make you calm? Is that what you're saying? It's a sedative?
Yeah, it definitely, I would classify it as a sedative. You know, you have a...
Well, you sound like an intelligent man, but I will tell you that there is a significant percentage of the population that have overt psychotic episodes from marijuana, from the THC of marijuana. It's the equivalent of an LSD experience for them. You're not one of those people, but there are people for whom marijuana will provoke a psychotic episode. The emergency rooms are filled with people checking in who have gone hysterical simply from smoking marijuana. You're not one of those people, and there are people who can smoke without such effects. And so you should be aware that there's a great variation in effects of marijuana. And your children, do they know you smoke marijuana?
My children are ages 3, 4, and 2.
Okay, then one last question. You don't even have to answer it on the air. When your children become of conscious age, would you tell them marijuana is something that you do and recommend that they do it when they're able to do it?
Tough question. It's
definitely... All right, and I don't want to put you on the spot. We don't know each other, but I'm sure you've thought about it.
I'm going to give you an honest answer, and I'm going to tell you no. I'm very against teenagers smoking marijuana. I think that it's definitely, you know, it kills your motivation to a certain extent. I think you.
Thank you. That's why they're called slackers. That's number one. How can you study a law book if you're stoned? How can you study a medical textbook if you're stoned? How can you study a chemical engineering report if you're stoned? How can you learn to fly a plane if you're stoned? I don't understand the psychosis in this country where people think this is a benign drug.
100%. So that's why there should be age restrictions on it. I think it should be a 21 plus. You know, I think that.
So when you're a hedge fund manager, are you picking stocks? What are you doing as a hedge fund manager?
I do a lot of IPO work. I fund startups.
All right, so you're a social type of personality. You're not really an analyst. You are bringing people together, isn't that correct?
Yes.
All right, so that's a whole different subset of skills, and that's a very important skill, very high level skill. And marijuana could probably play a very good role in that world in which you live, because probably most of the guys you're dealing with are stoned.
No. I mean, listen.
Are you kidding me? You're bringing people together in the younger age bracket. Most of them are potheads. But so you're not doing stock analysis in plain English, because I was wondering how you could do that if you're high.
I do stock analysis as well. I mean, it's not the main thing that I focus on. But no, I don't work. I never work high. I can't. You're right.
So let me ask you about something about stocks. If you were going to generalize about the market, and no one could do that because if they could, everyone would be predicting, would you say that investing in Asian stocks or European stocks is a good bet for 2014?
It's hard to predict.
Oh, now you're playing rabbi with me. Now you're not giving an answer. That's good. That's good. Shows you're very good at what you do. Are you sure you don't work for the Obama administration?
Definitely not. Absolutely.
All right. You're a very good-natured person, and I truly appreciate a logical discussion about any topic, including this topic, Gabriel. And I thank you very much for being a loyal pothead and listener to this imagination. I'm actually enjoying myself tonight. It's a funny time of the year. You know, I love December. I'm one of those old-timers in the world who gets cheerful around December, around the holidays. I find people to be generally less mean. Notice I didn't say nicer. Don't think I'm a Pollyanna. No one's nicer. Humans are not nice. We're vicious, aggressive creatures. Make no mistake about it. And we live in the jungle of America. Okay, I understand that. I find people to be less unnice this time of year. People don't go out of their way to be extra mean. Let's put it to you that way. A little less snarling at intersections in December. You know what I'm saying? A little less showing of the canine teeth this time of year. I enjoy this. A certain holiday cheer. I mean, I remember, you know, I still have the Currier and Ives mentality about America. Even though I live in Northern California, having grown up in the East, I'm forever wed to Christmas images. Christmas images, snowflakes on my cheeks, skidding around on the snow, you know, running when I was a young guy, and, you know, skidding in my shoes if I wanted to take, you know, that kind of just fun stuff. It happens, and it's a good feeling. So I love December, and I think it's a good night to talk about these topics of the minimum wage. And I got to tell you, I've watched this discussion of the minimum wage over the last few days on television, and I've listened to it on the radio. And, you know, I have to tell you, I'm very, very disappointed in the predictability of so-called conservatives. They are predictable in what they're going to say. Oh, no, don't raise the minimum wage. Oh, no, don't raise the minimum wage. Make them live on it. It's an entry-level wage, and let the free market determine. That's absurd. It's stupid. It's why most people turn away from conservatism. It's not only stupid, it's not even considered. It's not a considered argument. It's called knee-jerk conservatism, which is the evil twin of evil of knee-jerk liberalism. I mean, how many years have we called people knee-jerk liberals? We know what that is. The knee-jerk conservative always goes to ground on these questions, which is the worker should be screwed and the owner should not be screwed. Absurd, stupid. We live in a society where if someone is working, they should be rewarded to a certain extent. I didn't say increase welfare. I didn't say increase disability payments. In fact, if you want to ask me where I stand on that, I can answer that as well. Quite simply, disability payments, since the number of people receiving federal disability now exceeds the population of Greece, you know that there's a problem. You know that most of it is fraudulent. And you know that we need to use inspectors to break up these disability racketeers. Break it right up, get the money back, seize their assets, and put them to work cleaning the streets, those who have defrauded the government, meaning the taxpayer. That's number one. Welfare, the old Clinton plan worked. Do you remember welfare to work? Whatever happened to that? Whatever happened to the welfare to work idea? My streets are dirty, the potholes don't get filled. Make people, if they want to check, fill the potholes. Give them the tools and let them fill the potholes. So I'm logical on that. But when it comes to hardworking people working for minimum wage, in an economy such as ours, I think we need to reward the minimum wage worker with a bit more. I didn't say $25 an hour. I didn't say $15 an hour. But the fact of the matter is nobody can live on $7 an hour. That's my opinion. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
That I hope that we in the city and neighbors can respect each other. Some folks don't have backyards. That means they're going inside to smoke. And if they have children inside, they're going to be smoking inside.
So the morons in Colorado are so politically corrected that they become insane. And they're talking about being compassionate to marijuana smokers and permitting them to smoke outside as if there are no side effects to the secondhand smoke of marijuana. It just shows you how far the brains have fallen in this country. Political correctness has destroyed the thinking in this country. People have lost their logic. Lost their logic with regard to survival itself. I'll get into that in a minute on another topic related to something else. Time is running out in this first hour. Here's a topic that has nothing to do with the topics. But just to throw it into the minimum wage, marijuana, disability story. U.S. drops 2,000 mice on Guam by parachute to kill snakes. It's an interesting story. Guam is well known to be filled with frogs and snakes, and the snakes are out of control. The snakes are covering the island, destroying millions of dollars worth of damage, causing millions of dollars worth of damage to electrical equipment. The snakes destroy the electrical equipment. And in 2005, the snakes caused failures at 80 electrical substations in Guam. So what are they doing now? They're dropping mice, 2,000 mice, on cardboard parachutes into the forest surrounding Anderson Air Force Base as bait for brown tree snakes. In other words, the mice don't kill the snakes, right? The snakes kill the mice. You say, well, wait a minute, that makes no sense. So how's that going to work? You see, the snakes are sensitive to Tylenol, a very dangerous drug, incidentally. 80 milligrams of acetaminophen can kill snakes, and that's where the mice come in. The 2,000 mice that were dropped into the canopy of the trees were all pumped up with the painkiller. And so when the snakes take a big enough bite out of the mice, they die. It's very interesting to me. Very clever. Very, very clever. Incidentally, I killed a mouse in my house, the one I was telling you about last week. that was not eating me out of house and home, but he was eating into my dog's dog food. He got out of control. I mean, I would have liked to live with him. I went through the Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, said, you know, he's probably got a family waiting for him to come home, and where's Daddy, and all of that. I went through that whole phase. But it got out of control. I mean, the day I found him in my dog's food bag, the next day he got more brazen. He was eating into what? Yeah, you know, just one thing. They get pretty aggressive. So I got mouse traps. You say, well, I didn't even know how to bait the trap. It just shows you how disconnected I am from real life. I didn't know how to spring the trap. I didn't know how to put the trap together. It was crazy. You'd say, you know the old statement, if you build a better mouse trap, people will build a path to your door. Have you tried to take a wooden mouse trap with a spring on it? It's a horrendous way to kill an animal. Oh, man. Oh, Teddy, you don't want to be a mouse. Thank God you weren't born a turkey or a mouse. That's what I told my dog over the weekend. So you pull the thing back, and you load the little lever. Wow, it's sensitive. You could lose a finger. And guess which bait works best? Many of you called me and said use peanut butter. Wrong. I used peanut butter the first night. The mouse was so smart, it could nibble away at the corner of the peanut butter without springing the trap. So I said, wait a minute, go back to the old Disney cartoons. Cheese, for God's sakes. Mice and cheese go together like Obama and illegal voters. So I put some provolone cheese, Teddy's favorite, right on the tippity-tip-tip of the mouse trap. And the next morning, lo and behold, I set three traps. The poor little thing was, well, the tail was still wiggling. So I picked it up with a whatever. I think it was dead. Probably the spine got broken. It wasn't feeling very much. And I threw it into the bay, and it floated away, and it went to mouse heaven. It's the Savage Nation. Don't report me to PETA, please.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Hot Talk 560, KSFO.
Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Money. 1974, Pink Floyd, Money. Here I arrived in San Francisco, and the airwaves have never been the same. Of course, I wasn't on the radio till 92, but in 74, when I arrived, this was such a different city. It was liberal, but tolerant. It has now become intolerant and psychotic. Welcome to the Savage Nation. We're talking about whether to raise the minimum wage. We're talking about, should you be permitted to smoke marijuana in public? Absolutely not. Secondhand smoke for marijuana is offensive and toxic to many people. Number three, the number of people on federal disability now exceeds the entire population of Greece. Nah, there's a lot of other topics I'm going to bring in tonight. If you can turn a show on at any time in 3 hours and hear the word Obamacare or Obama or health care within the first 3 seconds, how could you listen to that? How is it possible? And it's going on television now. There's an OCD on Obamacare. They're obsessive, compulsive, insane. We know it stinks. We know the website's broken. We know it's socialism. All true. But how can you listen to this day and night? But even worse, the question that's plaguing me is, how can intelligent people talk about it for 3 hours a day without committing Harry Carey? How did they do it? How do they do it without going insane? How? What drugs must they have to be on in order to do this 3 hours a day? They're reasonably intelligent people. I turn on Fox even. That's all they're doing. Every second, Obamacare. Look at the topics I'm talking about. Minimum wage, big topic, very interesting. Everyone can have an opinion on it. Should you be able to smoke marijuana in public? Big topic, easy. Everyone can have an opinion on it. Number of people on federal disability, more than the population of Greece. Big topic. Interesting. Maybe you learn something, have an idea on it. I don't have to do Obamacare. It's not necessary. Now, of course, when I move to drive time, East Coast, come January, I still won't do it. You're still not going to hear me do it. I will be following Rush Limbaugh on many stations. Let him do it for 3 hours. Let him do it. I don't care. Since he gets most of his good ideas from me from the night before and doesn't even know it, including one that he's getting the credit for. But at this point, I could care less. As Lao Tzu said, you know what I'm saying? Let others use your ideas and et cetera. You know, I know the game. Let him take the heat on the Pope and Marx issue. Because I did it that Tuesday night and he did it Wednesday morning. Now it's his idea. He owns it, baby. Let him live with it. He owns it. Let him live with it. Now, God bless Rush. But so he's going to be doing 3 hours. Then I'm going to come on the air on many of the same stations. I'm not going to do the same thing he does. I'm going to do my own thing, my original thing. And whatever happens, happens. I'm on the last stop of my radio career. This is it. Couple of more years, and it's the White Hat and Boca Raton. No, I don't think so. But it's, no, a couple of more years. I have to walk off the stage. I got to do a Johnny Carson. That's it. So I can't get too agitated over it because it'll kill the show. I got to still be able to enjoy it. I still got to be able to put out the menu items that you're going to want to ingest. And that requires using all of my faculties and all of my experiences. We get stuck like an obsessive compulsive on Obamacare is insane. Can't do it. Won't do it. So let's talk about these other topics. Let the others do it. I don't know how. Don't know why. Whatever. 855-407-282, but it won't do you any good because we're sold out. We are sold out in the Savage Revival tent. U.S. drops 2,000 mice on Guam by parachute to kill snakes. Gee, I hope none of them are a relative of the mouse that I had to put in the trap. I really hope that I didn't break up a family. You know, I really hope I didn't break up a mouse. Broke up the mouse family. I didn't want to break up the mouse family, but it, you know, he went over the line. I was willing to live with a fantasy about mice and Mickey and Minnie, the whole thing for a while. But when he broke into my dog's food bag and then he started eating my bagels, that was it. He crossed the line. When he got into those bagels, that was it. Nobody touches Mike's bagels. It's as simple as that. So what would you like to talk about on the Savage Nation? Probably the minimum wage. That's a good one. Let's see what's on Fox News. In a minute, I'll take your calls, though. Here again, Fox News. Families face Obamacare Christmas scramble as coverage gap looms. That's Fox News. Again, they got OCD. You know who has the best statement on the Obamacare, strangely enough? The congressman from New York. I like him, actually. I know he's got his problems, but who doesn't? Where's the one where he said if he walked... Yeah, Charlie Rangel. I always liked Charlie Rangel. I like him for a couple of reasons. One, because he fought in the Korean War. Two, because he reminds me of the New York I grew up in. Three, because he's such rascal. He's a rascalian. I like him. Listen to what Charlie Rangel said in clip 16. That's clip 16. Not
talking loaded. About what happened with Pullout. We should be so happy that we do have a plan that Republicans and Democrats can perfect. And if you have to talk politics, let the facts speak for themselves. They ran an election. It's all about Obama. If he walked on the waters, they would say that the president can't swim.
Love that line. If he walked on the waters, he means on water, they would say the president can't swim. That's one of the best lines I've heard all year. Thank you, Mr. Rangel. That's a beauty. And it starts to sound like that, by the way. I mean, he can be criticized, Obama can, on 100 different levels, but stop already on the one thing. Talk about something else. Talk about him going soft on terrorism. Talk about him catering to the mullahs of Iran. Talk about stabbing Israel in the back. Talk about him running up the disability payment. Talk about real things here. It's enough already. We know it's a rotten system. But my position on Obamacare is quite different. I say stay out of the way and let it implode. Let them have it. Let them own it. Don't let them say, oh, you opposed it. That's why. See, what you don't understand as a conservative is that you're falling in the trap, and so many intelligent people don't get it. The Soviet Union imploded. And for the years that it was still in business, whenever you would tell a communist that the Marxist system doesn't work, you know what their answer would be? It doesn't work because the capitalists undermined it. This is a historical fact, and it's being repeated right now by geniuses, self-described geniuses in the conservative media, who think that by yakking about Obamacare day and night and standing in the way of it, they're doing themselves a favor. They're actually undermining their own arguments. Because Obamacare is a disaster. Now they have someone to blame it on, the conservatives who stood in the way. It's exactly a repeat of history. They don't understand history. That's why they're repeating it. Luckily, there's an older man in the media who's been around long enough to know it all, and that's me. And I'm here at night to put things straight. Now, I'll be attacked for this tomorrow, no doubt. There's no question about it, but I don't care. My name is Savage, S-A-V-A-G-E, first name Michael. And if I'm right, I'm right. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Can someone explain to me why this guy in the Porsche wreck is so important? Just another car crash. Why is that story still in the news? Why is it on the front page of every website? Answer, to cover up Obama's sellout of America to Iran. Answer, to cover up so many of the other scandals of this administration. You got the questions, I got the answers. Here, restaurant union serving up protests for higher wages. So let's go back to the minimum wage story. And I'll read what the restaurant owners are saying. The Acorn knockoff, the Restaurant Opportunity Center, is extending its reach by targeting 100 cities for protests Thursday. Higher minimum wage, blah, blah, blah. And what they want to do now is, of course, take everyone's mind off Obama's inadequacies, failures, and divisiveness. And so they're staging demonstrations in 100 cities. Washington, D.C., and Boston, whose city councils are considering minimum wage hikes. And, of course, the reason that bureaucrats in cities consider minimum wage hikes is they've never worked for a living. They've never produced a product or a service that anyone actually needed. They don't have to meet a payroll. On the other hand, people need a certain amount of money to live in. Now, many of you say, "Now, I disagree with you, Savage, because there should be no minimum wage. Let the market determine it." That is true if there's truly a free market. But when you have a monopoly in the form of a mega corporation that controls, let's say, the hamburger industry, and there's two or three mega corporations that control it, you're no longer functioning in a free market. It's not a mom and pop store that can determine its own costs and wages. So you see, you got to be careful with this. But what do you think? Don on KSFO has been holding you on the Savage Nation. Don, go ahead, please.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
Go ahead. What's on your mind?
I had a funnier thought. Like, it wasn't so much that I was for or against the minimum wage, but I thought if all the ruling class just kept pushing the minimum wage, that's what they want.
I'm sorry, John. Don broke up. That's okay. Cell phones have their limits. What else is in the news? Build a sustainable workforce. I don't know what that. I don't like the word sustainable. It's a code word now for everything. No one knows what it means. I love when you go to a restaurant, everything is so fuzzy and wonderful. Everything you eat is happy to die. It's sustainable. It was raised in a humanitarian way. The cow wanted to die. The goat curry that you're eating, the goat was happily, it killed itself just for you. The macchiato you're drinking comes from the 5,000-foot range of the Ecuadorian slopes, with rainwater and, yak milk in it. What a crazy world. Everything is a whole story. Everything is a story. How about the spying scandal? Where did that go? We have the most secretive administration in American history. We have a spying scandal that's out of control. Americans are being spied upon by spooks who should be arrested for what they're doing to us. Guardian editor says we've only published 1% of the Snowden files. And the data, they keep gathering the data. They're not stopping the new American Stasi. Under Obama, we have the equivalent of the Stasi in Eastern Europe. And it's growing. These things never... Hey, let me tell you something about the spy systems. They never stop spying unless they're stopped from spying. It's not the spy who came in from the cold. It's the spy who looks in from the sky and turns your heart cold. Not bad. I tried it anyway. I gave a shot at it. I don't know what I want to put. Cantor pushes forward with Kids Act. What a turnabout. Turncoat Cantor turned out to be. I never liked him anyway, those glasses. I never trusted him. He had a sneaky look to him. Cantor relentless and pushed for amnesty for illegal alien youth. You remember you thought he was, Mr. Conservative, Cantor, Schmanta, he's the next this. He was on every one of the conservative shows. Wallbanger had him on. The Taylor had him on. He's trying to get amnesty for illegal aliens. He always looked like the kind of teacher who would pull a surprise test on you, Eric Cantor. Like Eric Cantor had to look like he could look nice, and then when you turn around, he'd say, "All right, please put away your books. We're going to have a surprise quiz," and your heart would stop. Your heart. That's what Eric Cantor looks like. Like he looks nice, and he turns around and says, "All right, please put your books away. We're having a surprise test." I still see the world sometimes through the eyes of a kid in high school. I think it's helpful. I try to think that way. 855-400-7282. It's in December. It's a nice time of year. Everyone's happy or less miserable, less mean. Let's get some new callers up there. I'm already bored with the topics. The Wrangle thing was good. Oh, listen to this soundbite. Here is a British parliamentarian grilling the Guardian editor over the Snowden leaks, asking him if he loves the country. Don't play it now. The minute we come back, you got to hear the soundbite, and I'll take your calls right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. You know what the topics are. We'll change a few of them in a few minutes. But if you want to talk about the minimum wage, you want to talk about the smoking pot outdoors, the disability racket. I really want to hear some disability racket stories. That would be interesting radio if I were in a car. I have to imagine you. See, the host has to have two or three heads on at once. It has to be me talking, then me thinking what you are hearing, then me thinking what would the average guy who's driving in a car, a woman, listen to. And what would keep them from turning the radio show off? That's how it works. Maybe the toughest job in the whole world. That's why I love it. I like a challenge. I could never see myself leaving this. It'll leave me, but I won't leave it. Talk about that another day. KMED, minimum wage. Minimum wage. K Medford in Oregon. Cody, you're on the Savage Nation. You want to talk about the minimum wage? Fire away.
Yeah, I certainly do, Michael. I had a business for a bunch of years, and after our recession hit, I had to take a 50% pay cut. Now I make $15 an hour. I do a pretty hard job, drywall, and we have to compete with Hispanics that are coming across the border, and they'll do my job at $10 an hour, so I can't really charge anymore. But the way it keeps going, I'll be making minimum wage.
So wait, but you know, in a way, what you're saying is interesting from the opposite point of view, because if their minimum wage is raised, it would help you, not hurt you.
No, we got to compete against these guys that'll do what I do at $10 an hour. So I can't.
Yeah, but what if their minimum wage was raised from what is the minimum wage in Oregon?
It's I think it's $8.95.
So, but if their minimum wage was raised to $10 or $12. It would increase the amount they have to pay you. They couldn't undercut you with a minimum wage that's below what you're currently subsisting on.
That might be nice, but
so what I'm saying is that, you know, it's not as clear cut as one might think. Sometimes a rising sea does raise all ships. Thank you for the call.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Here's another story that caught my eye, because everyone's thinking of a vacation now, whether they can go or not. Man killed in shark attack while fishing in Hawaii. Everyone fears that. There's a primal, right? A man fishing from a kayak off a Hawaiian island has died after being bitten by a shark. Latest and alarming spate of shark attacks in the state this year. The attack took place Monday morning, half a mile off a point near Little Beach in McKenna State Wreck on the island of Maui. Can't blame Obama for that. I mean, he's from there, but you can't blame him. The friend said, who was in another kayak, said he was fishing for bait fish with artificial lures when a shark bit one of his feet, which was dangling over the edge of the boat. See, I always had... I don't want to get too graphic. It's one of the reasons that when I go in the ocean, I wear a bathing suit. I don't have to get too graphic about it, do I? I always have that, like, primal, like sea creatures. That's why I like a swimming pool. I like a saltwater pool for that reason. This whole idea of swimming in the ocean, by the way, is rather a recent phenomenon. It's only 100 years that man took to the beaches. You say, well, that's saying it's not ancient history. Before that, people didn't trust the ocean. They thought you were crazy if you went in the water. Oh, let's go to the ocean. Let's jump in. Let's say, let's have a wonderful swim. Wonderful. Yeah, there's a lot of dangerous fish out there. Eels, stingrays, sharks. Did you ever get hit by a stingray? Ooh, one of those little jellyfish. I got one of those once. They really hurt, those little. They're an interesting creature. I remember studying the jellyfish in invertebrate zoology. Fascinating organism. The invertebrate zoological kingdom of the jellyfish. No, there's no joke in it. I think I'm having a sugar down right now. I went from a sugar high to a sugar low. I could feel it hitting. I've been trying something new on the show. Oh, here's one. Pope Francis was a bouncer in a nightclub. Did you hear this story came out today? That really explains an awful lot, doesn't it? Pontiff worked in a nightclub. Pope Francis the bouncer. This is unbelievable to me. I mean, you can make some jokes, but I dare not. Pope says I was once a bar bouncer. Okay. The popular pontiff was once a bouncer at a nightclub in his native Argentina. All right, so there's hope for all of us. If you go from being a bouncer to a pope, if I'm starting now as a talk show host, God only knows, I may become a saint. If a bouncer can become a pope, then a talk show host, by logic, I can become a saint. He has also swept floors and run tests in a chemical laboratory, the pope said. In Revelation, sort of boost his image as a pope of the people and as leader of the Jesuit community in Argentina. He woke it from... Don't get me started with the whole Jesuit thing. Because I talked about Evangelii Gaudium last Tuesday night. And I told you what I thought. And it was ripped off the next morning by someone else at talk radio, took credit for it. And I resent the fact that his producers obviously listen to my show and write what I say and then produce it as a script the next day. At least that's a theory. I can't prove it. But you know what? He owns it now. He owns it. Let him get blamed for it. That's all. What can you say about that? I was once a bar bouncer. It wouldn't be the first time that a holy man had a regular calling prior to becoming a holy man. But this is a pretty high-up situation. This is not like the criminal who becomes a priest. This is not like the boxer who becomes, the ex-boxer who becomes a priest. This is something different. I don't know. It makes me... A pontiff was a bouncer at a nightclub in Argentina? Sorry. I don't know, at least, whew. Skin is itching from that one. I don't know. I don't know where to go with that one. Don't understand that. I guess some people will say that's great. It makes him a real Christian. And, that'll make... Well, it's like saying Reagan was a lifeguard, I guess. Right? You could say that. Reagan was a lifeguard. He went from being a lifeguard to a president. Or Clinton went from working in his uncle's grocery store to becoming president. Or Jimmy Carter, who went from being a peanut farmer to being the worst president in American history. So I don't know if that means anything, that he was a bouncer, when you think it through. Does it matter? I don't know. I don't know if it really matters. Some will say that's really Christianity. Well, you go carry it all the way to its extreme. Take everything from those who have everything and give it to those who have nothing. Then you'll really be a happy Christian, if you want to follow that logic. I mean, there was a time that the Catholic Church hated Marxists. I told you that. They opposed Marxism. Now all of a sudden they're embracing it, and you're calling it the gospel of the poor? Which way do you want it? You know, liberation theology is emanating from the White House. Now it's emanating from Rome. It's emanating from New York City. When is it going to stop the liberation theology? 855-407-282. We want to talk about snakes in Guam, minimum wage, disability, pot. Oh, you're always going to get the pot smoker caller. They get defensive if you attack pot. They tell you they're healthier than you are. They can outrun you. They can out-this you, out-that. You get back to me when you're at your last days of your life with the lung cancer. Okay, we'll take one, though. Gary on WRKO. Here comes a pothead. Gary, welcome to the program.
Hi, how you doing, Michael? I'm not here to defend the potheads at all. I'm actually one myself, and I never really thought pot was that bad until I started listening to talk radio and listening to you, because you're the one that said, that academia had brainwashed us, and there's no one, the lawyers couldn't sue anybody. That's why it didn't cause cancer. And so I listened to that, but in all honesty, I'm a small business owner. I own my own landscaping business for 30 years now, since high school. I'm 47 years old. To be honest with you, Mike, I smoke like at least five times a day since high school, every single day of the week, because my life is just very stressful, like that earlier caller. It relaxes me.
Well, let me interject for a minute. I have no moral imperative against marijuana. It's not a moral thing that I'm concerned about. It's a medical thing. Marijuana is highly toxic. The carcinogens in marijuana smoke should be worrisome to any intelligent person, just as the carcinogens in tobacco or the carcinogens in barbecued meat, okay? I don't understand how people can't understand this. It's not pure because it's green. But I don't care whether a person smokes. And obviously you're a person who can cope with marijuana, and it doesn't impair your ability to function. For many people, it does, though.
I totally agree that, Michael. I have seen that, and I'm not here to defend it either. I would never smoke it in public. I always do it in private. All I can say is, you know, and I have two small children also, 5 and 7. I don't smoke it around them, but I do need it to relax, just because my business is very stressful, and that's just the way I've been dealing with it. I do realize it's bad for me, Michael. So I'm not, you know, I'm not saying it's not bad for me, but I mean, it gets me through. You know, I've been very successful with my money. I'm out on the job. I'm working on it, and it doesn't really affect me. But I do think it should not be legalized. I just think, and I don't promote it.
Right. Well, that was my whole point. It's not a moralistic, you know, alcoholic's argument against marijuana, which is immediately why you get categorized by potheads, saying, "Oh, is alcohol good for you?" I'm not arguing it's good for you. I'm not saying you should, you know, get drunk instead of smoking pot. See, the question came up because in Colorado they're debating whether to permit people to smoke dope outdoors. And my argument is quite simple. I don't want to inhale secondhand marijuana smoke any more than I want to inhale secondhand pipe smoke, cigar smoke, or cigarette smoke. So why should they be able to blow it down my way? That's all I'm saying. Smoke it somewhere where I don't have to inhale it.
I totally agree with you, Michael. I would never smoke it and put it in someone else's face.
That's all. You know, sometimes I walk around the streets of San Francisco. I'm nauseated by that stink, that stinking weed. It's horrible. It just stinks. It gives me a migraine every time I smell it. I don't know what you're seeing it. You know, look, to each his own. That's all. I have no moralistic issue about it. There was a time it was legal in America. Then it was illegal. Now it's obviously becoming legal again. I just find that skunk weed stinks. It gives me a migraine. And in you ask emergency room physicians about the number of young people checking into emergency rooms across this country with psychotic reactions from marijuana, and you'll see that I'm not hyperventilating on that subject. Now, what kind of pot do you smoke? High THC, low THC, or what?
Right. Lately, the last couple of years, it's been pretty high, mostly low the most of my life. But I like I said, I smoke it to relax, but I don't push it on anybody. You know, I don't smoke it in public, and I don't think it should be smoked in public. So we're very...
Well, all right, so we agree on the principle of the smoke, which is the smoke per se, which is all I'm concerned about. As far as toxins in the marijuana smoke, it's your business. You're taking that risk. You know it. And you'll deal with it. Are you willing to put up with it like anything else? I mean, there are toxicants in alcohol. People still drink it. I mean, every time I drink a vodka, I know there are toxicants in vodka. So I drink it anyway if I want to drink. I know what I'm doing to myself. There are benefits and risks.
Michael,
I don't smoke cigarettes. I mean, I smoked cigarettes when I was young and foolish. I wanted to look like I was, I don't know what. I drove an old Jaguar and I smoked Galwazie. Who knew what I was doing? What did I know at 18 to 19? At a 1959 Jaguar XKE, a purple car. It was like the dream of my life. You know, I wore certain boots and a certain hairdo, and I walked around with a cigarette. You know, you put on it, put on the airs, but cigarettes, I gave up a long time ago. At that time, I smoked for 3 years. My hands were yellow from it.
Michael.
Thank you for the call. And it's neither here nor there. I'm just talking. It's a talk show. I'm not trying to be so profound. That's all. 855-4. We're still arguing over the minimum wage, which is very good. Wait till Thursday. You'll say, oh, look at that. Savage was talking about it Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Wait. And Thursday, all of the OCD people with Obamacare, they'll be talking about the minimum wage on Friday. They'll discover the topic. Ooh, minimum wage. And I can predict what they're going to say. I'll predict it. The Obamacare OCD talk show hosts on Friday are going to say, well, that minimum wage, no, you got to cut it down. Let the free market determine it.
It shouldn't be even 7 1/4. Let him start. It's not a starting job. It was never meant to give people a wage. It was meant for kids. Cut back on it. Let them go back where they came from. You're going to hear that Friday. Wait. And you wonder why people are running away from conservatives. You have to use common sense. See, maybe the difference is that I'm an immigrant son and I worked for minimum wage. I worked in factories. You say, oh, big deal. Yeah, it's a big deal. It shaped me. I still know what it's like to work in a factory. I know what it's like to struggle. I know what it's like to work 3 jobs. I know what it's like to be rejected for a position for 20 years and still keep fighting. Maybe it's why I have a different viewpoint than the doctrinaire so-called conservatives that you are used to listening to. Maybe if they got off their high horses and went out into the real world, they would see the world the way I do. But it doesn't matter whether they do or not. The thing is, it's one man's opinion. I'm not asking for others in the media to agree with me. I'm asking you to react to what I'm saying. It's a talk show. This is another thing. I have another pet peeve about talk radio lately. You want to hear it? And I'm doing this in a positive way to try and save the medium. Because I'll probably be here less than some who'll stay in the business longer than me. I'll tell you right now. You know, maybe 2 more years, 2.5, 3. Maybe that's it. I don't know. If I'm still here, God willing. And I still have the power for it. I'm stronger than ever, thank God. But let me say this. Here's the thing. People in talk radio have forgotten who they are. They are not politicians. And most of them sound as though they're running for office and that they're on a stump, giving a speech every day attacking a Democrat, every day attacking Obamacare. Well, then run for office if you feel so strongly about it. Give up your fat little career and go run for office and change something instead of shooting your mouth off day and night about how bad things are. Go change something. It's what I want to scream when I hear it. Or they think they're revolutionaries. Just give them the 3-cornered hat and a 3-cheese pizza. That's all they need. A 3-cornered hat and a 3-cheese pizza, and they're gonna cross the Trenton River on their own. I never heard anything like this. They're all George Washington and George Patton put together. Then you go join the special forces. Go sew their uniforms for them. Go cook them a brunch somewhere and get out of talk radio. They're all patriots. Everyone's an easy patriot. Easy to be a patriot and make millions of dollars a year. Try being an Army Ranger or a soldier who goes and fights for the country, doesn't make millions of dollars a year. Then you know what patriotism is. At least it's one man's opinion. I'm just sick of hearing it. And I'll tell you why I'm saying this. It is not bitterness, it's not jealousy, because I won the game. I won the marbles. I'm going into prime time. I'm not competing with anyone anymore. I got to tell you that right now. I actually wish all of my competitors well, because we're all on the same side of right. I don't think you understand that. I wish them all well, because I see talk radio literally committing suicide. If I were a young person listening to someone on radio, and all they did every day, all day long, was attack, attack, and attack again, and never talk about anything except how bad Obama is, and he's bad enough, by the way, and attack Obamacare, I wouldn't listen for 5 minutes. And then when you hear them talk about things like animals in such a bestial way, it's enough to make a young person say, you know what, I don't want to be associated with him. I'm going to be a liberal. I don't want to listen to them. I don't want to be like that guy. You can't expect a young person to relate to you if you are so crude, or shall I say foolish, in your attitudes towards animals and the universe and towards the environment. What, are you going to sneer at everything? What, do you want to pollute the waters and the airs? And say, well, it's freedom, freedom, free to pollute. Yeah, in the old days, they could pollute. I listen to this. I can't believe the stuff I'm hearing. It's imbecilic. In the old days, they had fireplaces. They could run fire. Day and night, they had the fires in the revolutionary period. I listen to this. I can't believe what I'm listening to. Well, do you understand what I'm talking about? Did I lose you? Okay. In a moment, I'll be back. I'll take more calls on these and other topics. And at the turn of the hour, I have new topics coming up. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Tired.
America's going up in smoke, let me tell you that right now. And it's very similar to what happened to the great nation of China when opium was dumped on them by the British to imprison the people. I know you say, oh, don't be crazy, it's so benign and it's fun. You are being turned into a drug addict by the powers that be to subdue you and make you incapable of any reason whatsoever. That's why marijuana is suddenly being promoted as something good for you. Marijuana smoke contains higher levels of certain toxins than tobacco smoke does. And many of you don't understand this. For example, I think John on KBSZ in Arizona has no qualms about these facts. John, is that correct? You don't care about ammonia and hydrogen cyanide in cannabis?
Are you talking to me?
I don't know. I know you're high. Yes, I'm trying to speak with you. You're on the air.
No, I'm not high. I do get high, occasionally. But it's one of the finest drugs that there is. I mean, it's
right. But does it concern you that marijuana smoke contains higher levels of ammonia and hydrogen cyanide than tobacco smoke?
I don't know that that's the truth, and I wouldn't.
Well, I'm telling you, it's a fact, John. Have you lost logical capacity? If I give you a fact which you can look up yourself in a medical journal, just accept that it's true. It was published in the ACS's Chemical Research and Toxicology. But you're in denial. So say, yes, I know it's toxic, but I don't care because I'm a pothead or I like getting high. But don't tell me that I'm making up a fact that's fake.
But I'm not a pothead. That's what I'm telling you. It's like
I'm telling you that ammonia levels were 20 times higher in marijuana smoke than in tobacco smoke. And hydrogen cyanide, even a person without a chemical background can understand that hydrogen cyanide is toxic. Nitric oxide levels occurred at levels 3 to 5 times higher in the marijuana smoke than tobacco smoke. And this information is not being put out there, John. So every time a person lights up a joint, and I hate Hollywood for this, I despise them for their guns, their violence, their drug use, their promiscuity. It gets me crazy. And these are the same lying fools, and I'll name a few of them. Shall I? Sean Penn, every movie he's in, he's either killing somebody, breaking their neck, pulling them apart with chains, and shooting them in the face, and the next day he's lecturing us about no guns and violence and peace and love. The hypocrisy is overwhelming. Every movie that Katzenberg, and Ratzenberg puts out shows people just having a nice joint, having a nice time sleeping with their girlfriend's son. It's just so wholesome. And the next day they're working for something with a ribbon on their left arm. Another cause I never heard of. To put out the PCBS. I'm sick of it. The sewer pipe of Hollywood is more toxic than opium is. The side effects of the sewer pipe of Hollywood are more toxic than the side effects of opiates. Write it down. Send it on to Katzenberg the next time he visits the White House.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
You believe in big government? That's what you vote for. You're perfectly fine to vote for whatever you want.
Mark Levin.
But if you think I'm going to shut up over it, you're dead wrong.
Weekdays at 3 on Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. Welcome to hour number 3 of the December 3rd, 2013 edition. You know the topics we've been talking about, but there are a few others that I'm going to bring in right now. This just came out. The legislature in Illinois just approved cuts in troubled state retirement system. The pensions were cut. Wow. The Illinois legislature late Tuesday ended a day of emotional debate and fierce backroom arm-twisting by passing a deal to shore up the state's debt-engulfed pension system by trimming retiree benefits and increasing state contributions. Now, Illinois had one of the nation's worst financed state employee pension systems, $100 billion in arrears, and they've been fighting it out. And it's a staunchly Democrat state, very strong labor movement. and the labor union successfully resisted efforts to trim pensions, but they lost today because finally top leaders of Democrats and Republicans cobbled together the bill and pushed it through, supported by the State Chamber of Commerce and the Illinois Farm Bureau. Union leaders threatened to sue, but the union leaders are definitely not part of the solution. They're part of the problem. And the governor, Pat Quinn, said today we have won. So even Democrats who are not demagogues understand what's at stake. If only we had such here in California. Even Democrats who are not demagogues, if only we had one in the White House, understood that overhauling the pension system was very important. He said this landmark legislation is a bipartisan solution that squarely addresses the most difficult fiscal issue Illinois has ever confronted. Here in California, it's out of control. The SEIU, the state pension system, the teachers union. You can't believe the pensions. The city of San Rafael, California, little city, has something like $1 billion in unfunded pensions. Who's going to pay for that? The liberals who talk the talk? What, are they going to give up their house and pay for it? Anyway, that's one topic. There are many others on the Savage Nation. Let's go to michaelsavage.com for some of the topics. Borders, language, and culture. Top right. There's a painting of my dog, Teddy, where he says, "Thank God I was not born a turkey." And I'm leaving it up for a while because it's such a great painting by my new friend, Dmitry Stroganov. He's the finest artist I've met. I met a lot of artists in my life. Some are good. Some are average. Some are fakers. This guy is the real McCoy. Wow. I ran into by accident, about 4 weeks ago. I went to have Chinese food at a little out-of-the-way joint in San Marin County. And then I saw some people sitting at a table down there. Went and talked, and one of them said, "Look, he paints dogs." I said, "All right, figure out." You know, so show me a postcard. It looked very good. I guess I knew the dog he had painted from a welding shop over at Werner's Welding. Actually, no, it was over by List Marine, and I knew the dog. I said, "It looks just like him." So he said, "All right, you want me to paint Teddy?" Yeah, next thing I knew, we went over to a dock. And he took pictures of Teddy, and he sent me sketches. I picked one. You got to see the picture. I don't want to talk about it. A picture is worth 1,000 words. Teddy, you should say, "Thank God I was not born a mouse," too. On the left side of my website, Savage moving to primetime, and that's coming January 1st, 2014. Mark the date. Tell your friends. Gallup poll. Those who know least about Obamacare voted for Obama twice. Take a look at the open mouths. Instead of putting the wafer in there, they're putting in the Obamacare. Pope reveals he used to work as a bar bouncer. That'll go unstated. Expert testifies Obama's ignoring laws could lead to overthrow. Yeah, right. How 10-year-old boys learn to slaughter infidels in Syria. You don't want to see this. It's up on my website. You keep living in a dream world about the marching of Islam. Just keep living in your little dream world. Keep smoking your marijuana and talking about issues that have no meaning whatsoever with regard to your survival. U.S. now lags behind Vietnam in global education rankings. That's under Obama. The nation has been so dumbed down under Obama and the Democrats that we're now lagging behind Vietnam in global education rankings. They slipped deeper and deeper behind in this dumb nation of ours under this, well, let it go at that. Meanwhile, in Russia, they've outlawed the building of mosques. Did you hear this story? Didn't make it to your local paper? The city of Moscow has now decreed that there will be no new mosques built and has now put a ban on the construction of any one of those houses of heresy. According to them, they're using those words. And you're going to hear much more about it. The mayor of Moscow, Sergei Sobyanin, said no new building permits will be issued. That's enough mosques for Moscow. Here's what he said. He said, "Muscovites are becoming irritated by people who speak a different language, have different customs, and display aggressive behavior." He went on to say this is not a purely ethnic issue, but it is connected with some ethnic characteristics. Could you believe hearing words like this in another world? Meanwhile, Rushan Abiyasov of Russian Council of Muftis debated this, and he said it's quite clear that a mosque should be built in every district of Moscow soon. Wow. Another one said, well, you know how it's going. It's going to turn into quite a battle now. An Orthodox Christian leader made a declaration in agreement with what the mayor of Moscow said. Listen to this. Listen to how shocking he is. He said, I am against the idea of tolerance and political correctness. The Bible makes no mention of tolerance. And he says, I am now elated at seeing the apostolic zeal of the Russian people, how they have arisen from the abyss of atheism to the glory of Orthodox Christianity. Now, you may say this is not happening here. Okay. Tune in a few years and see what's happening here. See where this country is in a few years. You'll be shocked to find out what's bubbling under the surface with the atheism and corruption and cronyism of Obama. It didn't start with him. We understand that. I was the first to call Bush a fiscal socialist, so don't put me in a convenient box. The American Mail, oh, that's on the website. What else? Let me go down to the bottom of my page. Let's see, michaelsavage.com. What is this now? Animal lovers warned about pets on planes. Michael Savage, why I oppose amnesty. Read the interview with Michael Savage in the New Yorker. Still up there. I'm keeping that up forever. I think it's the best interview ever done on me. I may never give another interview. Certainly, I'll give interviews in the radio industry. I have a new one coming out in a week that you'll hear about and read about, but I'm not giving them to the mainstream media. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. Maybe I'll give one next week, too. Who knows what? Depends upon the personality. I've been set up so many times. If you care to join the conversation on the Savage Nation and speak to more people than you'll meet in the rest of your life, meet for the rest of your life, look at this story. This, I love this story. Bob Dylan charged in France over Croatia remarks. Can you believe Bobby is still doing this? Paris, AP. French authorities have filed preliminary charges against Bob Dylan over a 2012 interview in which he's quoted comparing Croatians to Nazis and the Ku Klux Klan. The charges of public insult and inciting hate were filed against the musician in mid-November. They stem from a lawsuit by a Croatian community group in France over remarks in an interview in Rolling Stone magazine in September 2012. Speaking about race relations in the U.S., Dylan was quoted as saying, quote, if you got a slave master or a Klan in your blood, blacks can sense that. That stuff lingers to this day, just like Jews can sense Nazi blood and the Serbs can sense Croatian blood. Do you realize what he is saying here? A lawyer for the Croatian group, something or other, said it is not seeking monetary damages and wants Dylan, a singer who's liked and respected in Croatia, to present an apology to the Croatian people. He said the Croat community in France was upset with the remarks, but said he did not know why Croatians in Croatia or the United States, where Rolling Stone is based, have not filed similar suits. France, home to about 30,000 Croats, has strict laws punishing hate speech and racist remarks. The charges were filed 2 days before Dylan received a French government honor at the Culture Ministry November 13, but were not publicly confirmed until this week. You know what I find interesting is that he actually knows the history of the Serbs. He's one of the few musicians who actually knows the history of that area. If you were to study the history of the Balkan states, you'd understand what Bob Dylan actually said. But the Serbs have been so demonized by the American left that you have no idea what they have suffered at the hands of their neighbors. You have no idea. Most of you have no concept of the suffering of the Serbian people. Most of you don't know that Bill Clinton stole Kosovo from the Serbs with his fraudulent war. You don't understand that. Most of you don't know that Madeleine Albright was considered a international criminal for bombing Serbia. Most of you don't know that her little henchman, Jamie whatever his name is, the one that foamed at the side of his mouth, who foamed at the side of his mouth while American bombs fell on Serbs. You don't know any of this. It's ancient history. I'd rather talk about things such as this than Obamacare, because to me it's of more interest. But who would have thought that Bob Dylan, who was obviously the greatest poet of our lifetime, there's no greater poet in our life, and to think that this man is still so cogent in what he is saying and so insightful in his knowledge is amazing to me. So, hey, let's hear it for old Bob Dylan. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, listen to this. Have you heard? Are you ready for this one? Do you know what they just did in New York City? Are you ready for this? They've raised the toll for truckers to $100. To cross the George Washington Bridge, $102. Now imagine if you're an independent trucker And you have to go back and forth across the George Washington Bridge into New York a couple of times a day to make deliveries. Here's a guy who says he had to go back and forth and do deliveries. It cost him $400. And the crooks at the Port Authority in New York saw a 31% profit last year. People are saying, well, why are they raising the tolls? Answer, because they're thieves. Tolls were originally created by crooks. They were called highwaymen. And then eventually they stopped holding up trucks. They just created toll booths. That's all. So that's simple. Toll booth. You get used to it. You understand how socialism works? Marxism? They don't need a reason to raise taxes. Just more and more graft. That's all. Look what it's doing to truckers. And who do you think is going to pay for this? Keep voting Democrat, morons. Keep voting for Sandinistas in New York City. Go ahead. Keep raising. Keep going. Keep going. Just keep going. Keep on going. Keep on with the Kool-Aid like it's going to help the poor man. Unbelievable to me. Unbelievable. The retarded mentality of the left wing is beyond belief. And how people believe that this is good for the common man. Look what the unions do to this country. Who do you think's going to pay for the $102 toll on a truck? You. You. It's going to be passed on to you in goods. And the poor trucker is going to wind up going out of business. Maybe they can use illegal aliens as truckers. Drive them out off the roads as well. Have unlicensed drivers altogether. Maybe it's racist to require someone to pass a driver's license test. 855-407-282. Let's go to the callers. Let's go to the callers. David on WABC Line 5. You're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael. How are you?
Go ahead. I don't answer the question because you know why.
Okay. I've been listening to you for a while. I really had not heard about you before you came on the station. But I've been listening to the station for many years, all of these guys during the day, and they're good. I'm definitely not a liberal, but I'm certainly not a Tea Party. What you said earlier tonight, and I've been trying to get you for a couple of nights, and I just couldn't get through, constantly saying the same thing. You get so bored with what they're saying, even if it's true, it's like monotone.
And that's what I'm saying. Even if it's true, so what?
And I'm not sucking up to you. When you come on, it's like refreshing. It's different. If you want to listen to what you're saying, because you're not, it's like pounding into your head with these guys over and over again. They're saying the same thing. It's like a broken record. And I'm telling you.
So here's the question for you. I'm on late at night, and you have yet you're listening to me in New York, very late. So when I move to afternoon drive, are you going to be able to switch to to that time slot?
Yeah, because I listen. I'm semi-retired now. I do some consulting work for a hospital.
Oh, so you listen during the day anyway. So Wallbanger, you were listening to on WABC, and now that he's going bye-bye to the letter deficient station, you'll have me to listen to.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, it's going to energize the station because it's monotone, and you're not saying the same thing over and over again, and you want to listen to you, and it's fun. It's really fun listening to you.
Well, I try to bring some enjoyment to myself. There's a rule in radio. If you're enjoying yourself, the listeners will enjoy it with you. If you're just going through the paces, then they're going to turn you off. They can tell. We don't have any legs to cross. We have no lipstick, no hair. We have nothing but our ideas and our voice. Isn't that correct?
Yeah. Are you excited about doing this at a different time?
Well, I will answer it to you this way. I was born for drive time. That's number one. And number two, I'm going back to where I was many years ago because, you know, for 16 or 18 years, I did drive time on the West Coast. In other words, the East Coast time will be 3 to 6, right? But I did 3 to 6 on the West Coast for many, many years. It's my natural high-energy time. I'm much higher energy. I could do two shows a day at that time. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It won't be much different because it's still going to be a projection of my worldview and what I'm thinking that day. I can't change anything. How could I suddenly change myself? Anyway, I look forward to you continuing to listen. Tell your friends about it. It's the Savage Nation. We're moving into the second half of the third hour. I'm feeling no pain. I'm feeling no pain. I have more energy than ever. It's a very big night for me, what I just did tonight. Very few people know what I did tonight. I'll write it down in my annals one day. The Annals of the Savage Nation, Volume 1, Issue Number 14,000.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
Attention, the rumors are true. The Savage Nation is moving. Listen to me, Michael Savage, starting January 2nd at noon, right here on Hot Talk 560 KSFO. Who you're not hearing anything about are burning churches, killing Christians, and trying to change the law just about every country in the world where they arrive. The Russians know this. The Russians have outlawed the building of mosques, and they're going to get tougher on Islam. Here in the West, it seems our leaders are willing to sit back and let them take over the country. Well, there's a story out now that the mayor of Moscow has spoken up and is taking a stand, and he's saying no more mosques. Joining us now on the Savage Nation is Theodore Shubat, who is the communications director for Rescue Christians, an organization that is on the ground in Muslim lands rescuing Christians from Muslim persecution. And good for him. Theodore Shubat, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thanks for having me, sir. Good to be on.
Theodore, what's going on in Moscow? How are they stopping the mosques?
Well, it's very simple. The city of Moscow has decreed that there will be no new construction of any mosques. So if a Muslim wants to build a mosque, he is completely unable to do so. He would be breaking the law if he was building a mosque. So what is happening in Russia right now is, and people need to understand this, this is very important. Russia is really showing the true colors of Orthodox Christianity. And let me just give you an example. The mayor of Moscow, his name is Sergei Sobyanin. Sobyanin declared, this is what he said, no new building permits will be issued. I think that's enough mosques for Moscow. And on a radio interview, Sobyanin had this to say, and he said this very sternly. He said, Muscovites, meaning the natives of Moscow, are becoming irritated by people who speak a different language, have different customs, and display aggressive behavior. This is not a purely ethnic issue, but it is connected with some ethnic characteristics. So what's happening right now is a religious war. That's the bottom line. Because just this Sunday, there was a major rally in Moscow, major rally in support and in praise and in adoration toward the Orthodox Christian Church. And there was a 58-year-old Russian man. And he said, what are they, meaning the Muslims, trying to do? Show their strength? We're supposed to outnumber them on our own land. And there was a huge crowd of Orthodox Christians in Russia. And they were passing by the beautiful Christ the Savior Cathedral. And they were wearing t-shirts on which was written these beautiful words, Orthodoxy or death. Orthodoxy or death. So what we're seeing is not necessarily a revival of religion, but more so a restoration of what was in existence in Russia for centuries. There was another Russian man in the crowd. His name was Leonid. And this is what Leonid had to say. He said, I am against the idea of tolerance and political correctness. The Bible makes no mention of tolerance. And it was said that as long as these sort of rallies continue on, it is only going to lead to greater tension. And this tension will intensify to the point that it could lead to significant violence between Muslims and Christians in Russia. People need to understand that this is how Christianity used to be. So what we're seeing right now in Russia is Christianity and Christians saying enough is enough. We've seen what Muslims do to Christians in their own countries. We've seen what Muslims do to Christians in Sudan, in Somalia, in Central Africa, in Nigeria, in Syria. We see our Orthodox brethren being butchered every day by the jihadists, and we're not going to allow it in our country. And that is what's taking place right now in Russia. And it's happening in increments. First, they start saying, you can't build any new mosques. And there's only four mosques in Russia. Get this. There are only four mosques in Russia. The Orthodox Church is building over 200 churches in the city of Moscow alone. And they are declaring, the Orthodox Church is declaring, that this country will be a Christian nation and Islam will have no will have no say-so.
Is Russia standing alone, or are there any other countries standing up to the Muslim invaders?
No, we're not. I mean, Russia is probably one of the greatest examples, but there are other examples where this is where this type of thing is taking place, and I can show, for example, the nation of Angola, the Republic of Angola, despite what the media is saying that they're not really doing this, despite it, when you look at the recent reports that have come from Reuters and from the Telegraph and from other news sources that we have read, what we find is that the government of Angola is saying Islam has not been legitimized under the state. And so, in other words, and here's another very important factor. Angola is a majority Catholic nation. The leader of Angola is a Catholic leader. And so they're saying that Islam, if you allow it to pervade and to thrive and to inundate the society, it will begin to dominate the pre-existing Catholic society and Catholic culture in the country, and they don't want this to happen. So what they do is they place notices on the doors of the mosque saying, listen, you have over 70 hours to shut this mosque down. If you don't shut it by the time of the deadline, we will bulldoze the mosque down, and we will make you pay for the bulldozing. In fact, if you read the article that I wrote on this, it's called Angola Continues to Destroy Mosques. And now, if you read that article, which is on shootbot.com, I show a video that was filmed recently from Angola of a bulldozer literally just crushing a mosque and the sheikh screaming at the guy riding the bulldozer. And this brings hope to me personally, because it shows that there are Christians in this world who want to show the true spirit of Christianity, that we are not going to allow the forces of darkness, the jihadists, to override us, to slaughter us, to butcher us, but we are going to establish laws to make sure that they will not have their way over us. Because in Islam, if you read the Quran, specifically it attacks Christians, specifically it attacks the Trinity, and it says whoever believes in the Trinity should be put to death. So it is specifically attacking us. They have made a declaration of war, not Christians. And so it behooves Christian nations to see to it that the Muslims do not advance over their society. And this is exactly what Angola is doing. Not just Angola, but this is exactly what Central Africa is doing right now, where you have the Seleka militias butchering the Christians by the hundreds, killing women, pregnant women, feeding people to crocodiles and to hippos. And the Christians said enough is enough. They made a militia group, a major militia group in Central Africa. They call themselves the Anti-Balaka, which literally means in English, the anti-machete. We are against the machete of Islam or the sword of Islam. And the violence between the Christian and the Muslim is becoming so horrendous that the UN wants to get involved. So there is a crusade happening right now, a Christian holy war in Central Africa, in Angola, in Russia, where the Christians are saying, we are going to fight the Muslims to the death. And you're going to see this. It's not going to stop now. It's only going to get more intense. And the zealotry and the orthodoxy is only going to arise more.
So other countries are standing up, but it seems that the U.S. is sleepwalking its way through this problem. We're not sleepwalking our way. We are welcoming the problem.
The problem with the United States is that, to an extent, it is a product of the Enlightenment of the 18th century. When you study Diderot, when you study Voltaire, when you study Rousseau, or many people who were in favor of the idea of religious toleration, this has greatly influenced us to the point where just to say, listen, we want laws to protect us from these specific cults or dangerous ideologies. You can't do it because every idea is seen as equal. What happens is when you give equal rights to every single ideology in a nation, what happens is that the ideologies begin to compete for dominance. And eventually, you're going to have a dominant ideology. And once that ideology becomes dominant, it will tend to persecute those who disagree with that ideology. And that is what's happening in the United States, not just with Islam, but with the pro-choice agenda, with the feminist agenda. All of these ideologies are competing for dominance. And their main obstacle is not Islam. Their main obstacle is Christianity, and this is why we are seeing a war on Christianity taking place right now in the United States.
Not only do you report on this topic, but I understand you also run a Christian rescue organization.
Yes, we started Rescue Christians in 2010 after seeing what violence the Muslims were doing against the saints, against the Christians in Pakistan. And so we began in 2010. We started a team in Pakistan, formulated a team in Pakistan. And what we do is we physically take Christians who are being pursued by the state. The state wants to kill them, being pursued by mobs. And we take them, we put them in hospitals if they need hospital care. We put them in safe houses if they are being chased after by the government or the mob. And in many occasions, we take them out of the nation of Pakistan and place them in other nations where they will be free and be liberated from the prospect of being killed by their countrymen for being Christians. And I just want to give you an example of what we have done. There was a horrifying story of a girl. Her name was Tanya Rubeka. She lived in Pakistan. She was a Christian. She was kidnapped by Muslims, gang raped repeatedly by her captors, and their captors told her after raping her that she must be convert to Islam. Not only that, they wrapped her around a tree and they raped her repeatedly over and over again, and they burnt her body with lit cigarettes. They sold her into slavery. Her parents were looking for her. Her mother was looking for her, and they were screaming, "Where is my daughter? Where is my daughter? We cannot find her." They eventually found out the person who bought their daughter. They had to sell their own home to get the money to buy their daughter back. This girl was so injured physically and psychologically that we took her and her mother and her family, and we placed her in a hospital. We paid for the hospital bills to medicate her back to health. And in the last past two years, we have rescued over 1,000 Christians thanks to the help of good people who are giving us money. And I ask the audience, if you care about the persecuted, if you care about the oppressed who are being butchered every day by the jihadists, go to rescuechristians.org. Go to rescuechristians.org and give what you can. We're not asking for a lot of money. You can give $10, $20, $25, $30, whatever you can give, give. And I guarantee you, whatever money you give will not be used in vain. It goes directly into supporting and to rescuing the families that we are currently supporting right now.
Where can we read more?
Well, actually, I just came out with a new DVD set. It's a two-disc DVD set special that is 4 hours of footage of me giving lectures on the topic of Christian militancy. Christians today have forgotten the true spirit of Christianity, and that is the spirit that fights against tyranny and fights against evil. And so if they're very interested in this subject, go to shoebot.com and buy the two-disc DVD special, 4 hours of footage. I guarantee you, after watching these two DVDs, after watching this 4 hours of footage, Bible studies will never be the same again. You will never look at your faith the same again. Guarantee it.
Theodore Shoebot, thanks so much for being with us on The Savage Nation, and thanks for your great work.
Thank you, Michael. Good to be on.
I'll be right back.
Join The Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
There are more people on federal disability than there are living in Greece. There are more people on federal disability than there are living in several other countries. Why do you suppose so many people are on federal disability? And why would the Obama administration encourage people to go on federal disability? You can pretty much figure that out. That's topic one. Topic two is the minimum wage. Should it be raised or not? Topic number three is the issue of marijuana and alcohol. In Colorado, they're discussing legalizing the right to smoke marijuana in public. Now, you know my position on marijuana. It's the most dangerous of all drugs. It's the most dangerous because people think that it's the least dangerous, and it is, of course, an entry-level drug, a baby drug that brings you into the world of drugs. Now, many of you will justify the legalization of marijuana and smoking in public saying, well, alcohol is legal and it's more dangerous to the public. Well, there's a major difference here, and I realize most of you who are stoners have long lost the ability to use reason or logic. You don't even know what logic means. You never learned it. While you were sucking your thumb, I was studying Aristotelian logic in mathematical formulae. So let me tell you something. When a person decides to have a drink, only that person who is drinking that drink is drinking that drink. Nobody around that person gets a contact drunk. But when one of you dumb stoners decides to light up a joint and stink up the neighborhood, or ruin the neighborhood, or ruin your neighbor's night, your secondhand pot smoke becomes an issue. How many laws were passed to prevent people from smoking tobacco in public due to secondhand smoke? All you heard for 30 years, secondhand smoke, secondhand smoke, secondhand smoke, secondhand smoke, right? Are you telling me that smoking marijuana around the baby is safe? Many places today don't even allow smoking in public, that's tobacco, going so far as to ban it from public parks and land. For example, the backwoods city of San Rafael, California, has gone so far as to ban smoking in your own private residence if it connects to another residence. But what, it's okay to smoke marijuana? So with all of the outcry about cigarette smoke, should marijuana be allowed to be smoked in public? Absolutely not, but what do you think and why? Why is it fair for you to expose people you don't know to the toxins in marijuana smoke while cigarette smoke is banned? What about the carcinogens in marijuana? Are you aware of it? I'm sure you aren't. You wouldn't smoke it if you were. We're talking about the dopers who want to smoke in public in Colorado. I'm 100% opposed to it. And we're talking about the fact that there are more people on disability, federal disability payments in America than live in the entire nation of Greece. And this is all because it's all about money, honey. So let's begin with a man who says he lives on the streets in San Francisco. He goes by the name of White. He's calling from KSFO Radio. White, go ahead, please.
Oh, yeah, I dig it, man. I'm on the outskirts of San Francisco over towards Oakland. And, shoot, me and my dog, we've been out here for years, man. Ain't nothing like
it. So what I'm saying is you like being outdoors, and this guy thinks that you're out there because you can't find a job. But you're saying, you're confirming what I said. I talk to people in the streets. Some of them love it.
I love it. I make $45 an hour.
How? Just by panhandling?
Tools and people. No, I do weed abatement. I play with my power tools in people's backyards, you know, chainsaw massacre, you know, just cut it, let it lay, go to the next yard, you know, all day long.
What do you mean? You cut up firewood for them? Is that what you're saying?
During the wintertime, but in the summertime, I do weed abatement, you know.
What you're saying is you actually work and live in the streets.
Oh, yeah. I built a little shack up in the hill. And,
So, in other words, the do-gooder who called and called me mean-spirited was wrong. He doesn't know many people love the streets.
Oh, heck yeah. No bills.
See? No bills, no taxes, no government agents to bother you.
Well,
you want to hear something funny, White? You're not the first so-called homeless person to listen to my show. I sometimes walk around the streets of San Francisco, and I get a kick out of guys with carts who are replaying my show, you know, comes out of other stations sometimes. I get a kick out of it. They actually like my show.
Oh, heck yeah. I got my buddies. They come up and they visit, and I turn your show on. They hear the Savage Nation. They start cracking up, and then they start listening to you. They can't believe it, you know.
Well, why do homeless people listen? Let's say they listen to hate me, or they just like what I'm saying?
Oh, we like what you're saying.
What? So some homeless people are quite politically conservative? Is that what you're implying?
Oh, heck yeah. A lot of us. You'd be surprised.
I wouldn't be surprised. Some of you are veterans. Many of you are patriotic. Many of you know that we are facing the demise of the nation that you grew up in. I get it. Believe me, I get it.
Big time.
All right, White, thank you for the call. That's interesting. 855-407-282. I'm actually enjoying myself tonight. It's a funny time of the year. You know, I love December. I'm one of those old-timers in the world who gets cheerful around December, around the holidays. I find people to be generally less mean. I notice I didn't say nicer. Don't think I'm a Pollyanna. No one's nicer. Humans are not nice. We're vicious, aggressive creatures. Make no mistake about it. And we live in the jungle of America. Okay, I understand that. I find people to be less unnice this time of year. People don't go out of their way to be extra mean. Let's put it to you that way. A little less snarling at intersections in December. You know what I'm saying? A little less showing of the canine teeth this time of year. I enjoy this a certain holiday cheer. I mean, I remember, you know, I still have the Courier and Ives mentality about America. Even though I live in Northern California, having grown up in the East, I'm forever wed to Christmas images. Christmas images, snowflakes on my cheeks, skidding around on the snow, you know, running when I was a young guy and, you know, skidding in my shoes if I wanted to take. You know, that kind of just fun stuff. It happens and it's a good feeling. So I love December, and I think it's a good night to talk about these topics.
Savage.